Now, at first, when you see all this and I go through it, why go through all that? Well, there were some questions that I had on some scriptures in the book of Zechariah. I knew they were going to happen just like God said. But if possible, I wanted to understand how God was going to take his atmosphere and do it. It says, at the same time the Mount of Olives splits, and it indicates that there would be a condition where it would not be light and it would not be dark over the entire earth. And it indicates that there would be a time when at midnight, when you expect it to be dark everywhere locally, you would still have enough light. That really perplexed me. And I knew it had to do with optics. I knew it had to do with God who made the earth and creation. And so I began to study the scriptures to say, what can do this? And then I noticed something about Jesus and his coming. Repeatedly, it talks about him coming back in a cloud. Now, eventually, we'll get to all these scriptures, and when I tie this all together, it'll make sense. In the meantime, just bear with me on it, because this trumpet number 4 tells you about the process, how the cloud is going to be formed. And then there are many other scriptures in the Bible that tell you how it's going to affect other things. Now, in Revelation 6:12, we're told, "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake." Now, this is when the tectonic plates first began to move noticeably on a worldwide basis, because every mountain and island are moved out of their places in verse 14. Now it begins to tell what happens to the atmosphere in synchronization, parallel with, at the same time, of this great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. It does not mean that the sun disappeared. It means it would be like looking through a negative at it, some old negative from a photograph, and you can see the dim outline of it. It's still, you can still see it's round, but it, at least it's shielded where it's kind of dark center and kind of light around the edges. And the moon became as blood, as is a simile. It took on a blood-red color. Now, we're going to get around to verse 14 because this is what happened eventually after the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, that's goat's hair, black goat's hair, and the moon became as blood. It says, "And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together." We're going to talk specifically about what that means, and I'm going to show you visually what I believe and I'm certain it means. "And every mountain and island were moved out of their places." So this is when all this havoc starts breaking out on the earth, all the earthquakes, all the volcanoes. They continue through the entire tribulation period. And as they are continuing all the way from the sixth seal, you've got a seventh seal coming up, then you've got seven trumpets, then you've got seven vials. Finally, by the end of the seventh vial, these volcanic eruptions around these tectonic plates are going to actually cause a tremendous cloud shroud to build up around the whole earth above the stratosphere, well, actually above the tropopause in the stratosphere, and it's going to, nowhere on the earth is the sun or moon by the end of the tribulation period going to be completely visible. Revelation 16:16, we're at the end of the tribulation period. "And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial in the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there were voices, phonos, noises, and thunders, and lightnings. There was a great earthquake, such as it was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And every island fled away." It means it moves horizontally. "And the mountains were not found." It means they changed their topographical position. And the tectonic plates, as they move, changed their latitudinal coordinates, at least in seconds. So this is the final thing, and by this time there will be a complete cloud shroud around the entire earth. Now that's what Jesus is going to come through. How's every eye going to see him? Well, I'm going to show you that before I'm finished, because it's a pattern of optics that God owns, operates, and controls. It's a series of complicated mechanisms that follow certain laws. They're like God, they never change. And I'm going to show you exactly how he will be visible to every single eye on this earth when he returns at the end of the tribulation period with the saints. Now, gradually and slowly, that cloud shroud will be built in. These volcanic eruptions, when they go up in the atmosphere, this is a minor one here, but on a vertical eruption, on a severe eruption, it blows all the way through the stratosphere, and once the cloud particles from this volcanic eruption, once they get above the stratosphere, blown through it, there's no moisture up there. At the tropopause level, the temperature and the dew point take part and goes zoom, boom, and there's no moisture. So if there's no moisture to get on these cloud particles that go up there, The ones that are blown through there that are lighter than the air into which they're blown, with no moisture to condense on them to make them heavy enough to fall out, they just stay up there for a long period of time. This was a gigantic explosion of a volcano near Kamchatka in Siberia. It destroyed the southwestern slope of the volcano and produced an ash cloud that reached a height of some 35 kilometers. This blew up above the stratosphere. Now that thing stayed up there and spread out and stayed up there for years. Every volcanic eruption that penetrates the stratosphere, the actual cloud stays up there, spreads out, and thins out. What you're going to have is a process during the tribulation period itself, whereas the volcanic eruptions increase, you're going to have all kind of increase, and eventually by the end of the tribulation period, you won't be able to see it at all. Luke 21, 25, there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars. When it talks about signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, it means this. If you walk out at night and there are no clouds, you can see the stars without any problem. You walk out in the day, no clouds, you can see the sun without any problem. You walk out at night, you can see the moon without any problem. But sooner or later on this earth, you know that during the course of a month, sooner or later, you're going to see them. But this is talking about signs, and signs are things out of the ordinary. It means you're going to see things happen to the sun, the moon, and the stars that you don't normally see. You're going to see the moon turn blood red. You're going to see the sun look like it's black of goat sackcloth hair. You're going to see it sometimes. Sometimes you aren't. And those are going to be the signs in the sun and in the moon and on the stars. Now listen to the rest of this, because this involves earthquakes on the ocean seafloor. It involves tsunami waves. It involves the earthquakes and volcanic eruptions that are going on the earth. I'm sorry sometimes that I keep repeating the same thing, but I'm telling you, I don't think anybody realizes how horrible this is going to be. I don't think anybody has any idea whatsoever. I think I have a better idea than most, and I don't think my idea can really be as horribly graphic as it is. And some of you are still going to be here when this happens. Believe me, when it happens, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. And upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Those are tsunami waves. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now notice. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. The Bible indicates that every eye will see him when he comes. The Bible clearly indicates, and there are numerous other scriptures, that he comes in a cloud. How can he come in a cloud and every eye on the earth see? That's what I will eventually answer when, by the time I finish this trumpet four, and it all involves everything that God did. Now notice, Revelation 6:12. And I beheld when it opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. At first, they're visible, but they take on different colors. The sun looks like something that's black, like look through a negative. The moon takes on a blood red color. By the time, now notice, that's Revelation 6:12. Now look at Revelation 8:12. And the fourth angel sounded, the third part of the sun was smitten, the third part of the moon, the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them is darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of the night likewise. I explained that fully before, when I started on this. And it simply means that a third part of the time you won't be able to see the sun, a third part of the moon you won't be able to see this, you won't be able to see it, a third part of the stars you won't be able to see it. The day shone not for a third part of it in the night likewise. So notice here, two chapters later, it's starting to become widespread. At first, in some places, the moon's blood red, the sun's like a negative looking through it, black goat's hair, but then later it starts to affect the whole earth, and about a third of it is affected here. By the time Revelation 9 comes along, of course, that's after Revelation 8:12. The fifth angel sounded, I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now notice, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit. These are the abyssu priatos, those red lines, those shafts that come up out of the interior of the earth. There came a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. More and more of this keeps pouring out. So by this time, instead of the third part of the time, you won't be able to see them. You're probably up to about two-thirds by this time. More and more smoke is pouring up there. It's just like feeding moisture up on a day when you're heating the earth. You don't have any clouds in the morning, but they keep on growing and growing and growing during the day. This moisture is being fed. These clouds are being fed up into the stratosphere, and they can't get out, so they are gradually building up layer after layer. Joel 3. Now, this is the end of the tribulation period. This is when we are at the Battle of Armageddon. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon, Revelation 16, 16. Now let's take a look at what Joel says, because here's the Battle of Armageddon at the very end of the tribulation period. And let's see what Joel says it's going to look like when you look up to see the heavens, the sun, moon, and stars at that time. Joel 3:11-12. Assemble yourselves and come all ye heathen and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I set to judge all the heathen round about. This is the final battle, the battle of Armageddon. This is when all the nations come against Israel. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get ye down, for the press is full, the vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. This is when the sickle of God goes in the Jordan River Valley. It rips open for 1,600 furlongs, or about 185 miles, generates a flood basalt plain, tremendous liquid rock coming up from underneath. This is where 5/6 of the Antichrist army is destroyed by the awesome power of Almighty God. Multitudes, multitudes, in the Valley of Decision, for the day of Lord is near in the Valley of Decision. So here we are at the Battle of Armageddon. Now notice what Joel has to say as he's seeing this vision that God has given him of what the sky conditions will be like, what the heaven will look like at the end of the tribulation period. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. By the end of it, you can't see the moon, you can't see the stars, you can't see the sun. By this time, that cloud shield has developed and thickened. Now, Don can tell you about the tropopause level as well as I can. Don is not as handsome and debonair and charming as I am. Of course, Betty would disagree with that. But Don will tell you about the tropopause level. The tropopause level, it depends on if you're in the southern hemisphere, you'll have a higher one, and you have triple tropopauses. But there is a tropopause level. God put it there. It's around the entire earth. The only way that you can get clouds up there is to mechanically blow them through, because there's a temperature inversion up here, and air will not rise naturally of its own volition through that temperature inversion at the tropopause level. So depending on where it is, once the air reaches that, rising from below, it cannot penetrate the tropopause level inversion. It's too strong. But you can mechanically blow through it with a volcanic eruption. Now, in the beginning of the tribulation period, when you start having these volcanic eruptions, notice there are going to be breaks in here. You see the clouds building. Now, if the leading edge of this comes across you where you are, at this particular point in the tribulation period, the great earthquake has just occurred, the sun is starting to be look very thin, look like through a black negative, the moon takes on a blood-red color. How does that happen? Anytime the leading edge of a volcanic cloud comes in, it is always thin. It thickens as the bulk of the volcano cloud moves over. At first, and I give you my word, you can look up at the sun and it looks like a big black ball with a narrow band of light around it. You can look up at the moon at night, and because of the lithometers in the actual eruption, and there's no more effective lithometer to turn the moon blood red than a volcanic lithometer. So initially, the moon is blood red, the sun is black. But as the thicker part of the cloud comes across, you can't see either one of them. Then another little break moves across. All these are moving because the jet stream is just below the tropopause level, and these are moving along. So what would happen? About a third of the time, you wouldn't be able to see the sun, moon, and stars. These breaks would come across, and the other two-thirds, you'll be able to see them. Part of the time, the moon would have a blood-red color, but as the cloud thickened, it would stop. Same with the sun. But gradually and slowly, this smoke keeps accumulating because the volcanic eruptions continue. And as the volcanic eruptions continue, pouring all over the earth, and there are going to be thousands and thousands of them, you're going to have volcanoes spring up where they didn't have them before. And you're going to have most of the volcanoes on this earth that are inactive at the present time kick loose. Gradually and slowly, by the end of the tribulation period, this smoke will have accumulated, and you will have built a solid cloud shroud around the entire earth. That's going to produce certain dramatic effects. First of all, you won't be able to see the sun, moon, and stars at all. My guess is that by the time the fifth trumpet sounds, he indicates these creatures that come up out of the earth that affect men, and we'll talk about them when I get on the fifth trumpet, are going to torment men for 5 months. Now, I can't see any reason why they would stop tormenting them before the end of the tribulation period. They may, but it doesn't seem reasonable to me to think that they will. So I believe that when the fifth trumpet sounds, you've got about 5 months of the tribulation period. My guesstimate, and I admit it's a guess, my guess is by the time the seventh trumpet sounds, that cloud shroud will have been completed. And we will probably have something like a couple of months where for 2 months, nobody on this earth will see the sun. Some of you probably weren't here when this happened. We went for 21 days here in Dardanelle, Arkansas, without seeing the sun or the stars. I don't know if you remember it, 21 days. It never did shine. I have never seen such a bunch of depressed people in my life. I was depressed. Imogene was depressed. We took off and left here, and we still hadn't seen the sun, moon, or stars. We took off for Georgia. We got down to Georgia, and we got into Alabama about halfway, and we saw the sun. We both started cheering, and Imogene's not a big cheerer. And it just lifts you up. These people on the earth are going to be in severe depression, not just because of the terrifying things that are happening, but they will not have seen the sun, moon, and the stars for a prolonged period of time. This is all going to start on the blowing of the on the opening of the sixth seal. Now we're going to talk about the heaven departing as a scroll and rolled together, and between the sixth seal and the last earthquake in the book of Revelation, in the 16th chapter of Revelation, you're going to have sufficient smoke come up out of all these red lines, these tectonic cracks around the earth, that you're going to have an event that will eventually cause every eye on the earth to see Jesus Christ return. Now, let's take a look at Revelation 6:14. In Revelation 6:12, you've had the great earthquake. You've had this great, tremendous earthquake. You've had the sun turn to a blood red. You've had the sun turn, take on a dark color like through a negative. You've had the moon turn to a blood red color. Now let's talk about this verse of Scripture. Because this is what happens. Now notice, it happens after the earthquake. It happens after the sun takes on a black appearance. And it happens after the moon turns blood red. That's back in verse 12. We're now looking at verse 14. Revelation chapter 6, verses 12 through 14. Are scriptures that are like a preview of coming attractions. When I was a boy, we used to go to the movies, and we'd go see serials. They had cowboy films. I liked the guys that were rough and tough. I liked Tom Mix and Kent Maynard and the Range Busters, and where they just shot all the way through, and the only thing the guy ever kissed was his horse. They always had those up at the Landers. Now they had big old rats ran across your feet, but it was worth it because these guys were fighters. They never sang or anything. But down the street at the Melba, they had these lover cowboys, Roy Rogers and Gene Autry, and played, you know, and sang. Once in a while, they'd peck the girl on the cheek. You had all that stuff going on. And so I would always go to the Landers first because I liked it much. I'd get a quarter. It cost 10 cents for the Landers, 10 cents for the Melba Theater. That left me a nickel. So I had a choice. Did I want a bag of popcorn at both theaters? And which one was going to eat the popcorn in? I usually bought it at the Melba because it tasted better. So I'd sit there and suffer at the Landers. I'd pay 10 cents and I'd get a bag of popcorn this high for a nickel. Well, at both movies, they had a cereal. Now, my favorite was Flash Gordon and Mong, the evil emperor. Oh, I loved it. And so what they would do would give previews of coming attractions. And they'd show the preview of what was going to happen next time, you know. And you'd see Flash going down the sea, and you'd think, oh, how's he going to get out of this? They'd give you the preview of coming attraction. It held your interest. Well, that's exactly what this is in the sixth chapter of Revelation. These are previews of coming attractions. He's going to tell you when the earthquakes start. He's going to tell you the sun takes on a black color. The moon takes on a red color. And then he's going to give you a series of events that are going to occur all the way down through those verses. Now, first of all, let's talk about what the heaven is. He says, the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. All right, what was the heaven? Well, the man that wrote this was John. Here's what the heaven was to him. The word is Uranos, and John saw three heavens. The Hebrews all believed in three heavens, and also in the Greek language, and that's what God presented it to them as. The heavens consisted of the earth's atmosphere. That was the first heaven where the birds flew. The second heaven were where the sun, moon, and stars, the fixed constellations, exist. And the third heaven was a heaven where God dwelled that nobody got to see. So what was the heaven to John? Well, the word is Uranos, and here's exactly what it meant. You would walk outside in the daytime. You would look up, and you would see the sun, and you would thank God for the sun, the warmth of it, the light of it. You might have a few scattered clouds around, but that would be the heaven. If you went out at night and you saw the stars, you would thank God for the stars. That was the heaven. Now, he says that this heaven, and remember, it's what he sees with his eyes. The sun in the day, the moon and stars at night. Notice what he says. He says, departed. Now, I'm going to show you exactly what this word means in Koine Greek, and it also means the same thing in English. John says, I looked up at the heavens, and the heaven departed. Now, I'm going to give you a perfect description of what that word means. And don't get irritated. I'm not so insulting your intelligence. But most people don't think about a lot of things. You now see me. I'm departing. I haven't departed. I'm still in the act of departing. My departure is future. I'm still departing, but I haven't departed. I'm still departing, but I have not yet departed. You still see me, just like John saw the sun, moon, and stars. Now I have departed. It simply means John said I couldn't see him anymore. They completely left my field of vision. Now, John then tells us how they departed. You saw me walk slowly over here. I could have run over here. I could have somersaulted over here. I could have slithered over here. You saw the manner that I approached that door. Now he's going to tell you exactly how this disappearance of the sun, moon, and stars occurred. And he's going to use the symbol of a Jewish scroll. Now, all of this right here, from Revelation 6, all the way down through verse 17, Revelation 6, 14 through 17, is a preview of the entire tribulation period to its very end. It's like a preview of a coming attraction. This covers the whole tribulation period. It gives you an oversight of what's going to be happening during all the rest of it. That's true from Revelation 6, 14 through 17. But right now, I'm going to concentrate on the way that it departed. This is a Jewish scroll. Last time I was in Israel, I think some of you that watched that film on Israel, you saw a bar mitzvah, you saw them actually reciting the Hebrew scrolls, and here you see a scroll. Notice this young man has his hand on one side and the other hand over here. What he does, he rolls it and he reads it. Well, just like John looked up at the sun, moon, and stars and saw them, this young man is looking down and he is reading the Hebrew writing. He keeps on rolling, and he keeps on rolling. He keeps on seeing things. Finally, he gets to the end of this roll. When he reaches the final roll, the whole thing rolls together, and the Hebrew writing disappears from his view. It departs from his view. That's what John is talking about. He was using a Hebrew roll and talking about that departure. This is a Hebrew scroll. Actually, I believe, it is in Hebrew. And you can see how you would take this and turn it. And as you turned it, eventually you'd come over here. Or if you just rolled it together, the writing would disappear. John saw the sun, moon, and stars completely disappear. He saw them go through a series of phases, but finally he couldn't see them anymore. So I heard the bell back there, so I'm going to stop. And I'm going to tell you that in the beginning of the tribulation period, the opening of the sixth seal, this is what happens. You can see the cloud shroud built up. By the end of the tribulation period, you have a complete cloud shroud. Next week, I'm going to try to talk to you about some verses of Scripture that were really perplexing, but I don't think they're very perplexing now. I think they're very easily understood, but you have to understand about that cloud shroud first, and at the end of this, it'll all tie together. One of the things about this, it's amazing to me. It's absolutely amazing to me how God has structured his atmosphere to do exactly what he's going to do, and he's going to do it by his power. No one else but God can do this. And so we'll be talking about that, Lord willing, next Sunday.